This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Have you ever been in the situation where you didn't want to take your doctor's advice? When she prescribed medication you weren't so sure of, or a course of treatment that seemed too aggressive? It's a difficult dilemma. Now imagine how difficult it would be if the patient were also a doctor.
That's the situation Dr. Annie Brewster found herself in when she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She wasn't sure she wanted to follow her doctor's orders, and it changed the way she views the doctor-patient relationship. Dr. Brewster writes about her experience on WBUR's Common Health blog. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I wonder if you could first tell us a little bit of the story of how and when you were first diagnosed with MS.
So I was first diagnosed in 2001. I went in and I was told that I had probable MS, and I was told to start disease-modifying therapy immediately. And
which means, in non-medical language, that a course of drugs?
A course of medication, okay. Yes, which do act on the immune system and are fairly powerful medications. Initially, I actually sort of ran away from the doctor's office because I wasn't ready to hear that. And I didn't go back until 2005 and actually didn't start medicines until 2006.
And when you did decide to go on this this MS medication, what was the conversation that you had with your doctor at that time?
Well, honestly, I never felt there was much of a dialogue about options. It was sort of disease-modifying therapy, medication, or nothing. And I never felt that I was presented with other forms of management, such as diet or stress management or sleep improvement or things like that that maybe aren't as clear-cut and haven't been measured, but I think certainly can help with diseases such as MS in particular, which are autoimmune.
Did you ask about those alternatives?
You know, I have to say that I wasn't very good about pressing the issue. And again, that's something that I was very curious about when I wrote this article. Why is it that I didn't ask more questions or didn't resist more on the medication? I mean, I left and I didn't go back, but that wasn't really dialoguing with my physicians about my ambivalence. Just because of the way the medical system is structured, I didn't feel safe to do that for some reason, and I definitely take some of that responsibility. But I think it's interesting that I think a lot of patients don't feel that they can push and ask questions and disagree.
Mm-hmm. So just to be clear, did you take the medication? Are you on it now?
I am not on it now. So I was on three different medications since 2006. And the most recent experience I had was a once-weekly injection, and I did it for 3 weeks. And I was so ambivalent. I didn't sleep well because I had such a bad headache and I had such bad body aches. And then I lost the whole next day because of fatigue and continued body aches and headaches. And I had felt really, really well beforehand. So for me, it just seemed suddenly more clear-cut because my symptoms have been so mild. Haven't been sure that I really needed that medication.
So maybe at this point in time, it bears repeating that you are Dr. Brewster. You're a physician, and yet you found yourself in a place where you're not taking your own doctor's advice.
I really struggled with that decision, but I am going against my doctor's advice, and it's made me think a lot about how to change my practice as a physician and how to better serve my patients.
In your Common Health post, you write something which really just leapt off the screen and hit home for me. That one of the reasons why you've decided to become, quote-unquote, a non-compliant patient, as they're known in the medical world, is that you never got a sense that your doctor or doctors wanted to know about the context of your life.
I wasn't asked any questions about what was going on for me. I was actually a resident. I had a 2-year-old. I was going through a divorce. You know, all of those things were so important to me, but they weren't really factored in, and I was just told to go on this very powerful medication. And I think context is so important, and I think if we can do anything for our patients, it's to really listen more to the stories of their lives, try to ask questions and find out what's most important to them, because for most people, we could assume that maybe keeping disease at bay is the most important thing, but that's not the case for everybody. I think quality of life is really important. And most recently, when I was started on this medicine that I had the really bad side effects to, I again didn't really feel like the context of my life was being fully understood. And I did try to express that and say, I don't really have a lifestyle that's going to allow for me to lose 2 days. I'm working. I have 4 kids. I'm busy. And that's important to me. I'd rather feel good in the day-to-day right now and risk the chance that maybe my disease will progress than feel crummy when I don't even know if it's helping me.
And but I have to ask, though. I'm sorry. I have to ask. What I hear you saying seems so incredibly important that you're calling for your fellow physicians to, you know, see people as human beings, as whole human beings, rather than just sort of biological organisms that can be helped medically. But is there anything in medical education, for example, that trains doctors even to think that way when they're learning how to do medicine? And then in the reality of the day-to-day world, it seems like most visits are pretty rushed and doctors are just busy and slammed from the time they get to the office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there is a lot working against doctors. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right that in medical education, we don't get training in nutrition. Maybe it's better than when I went to medical school, but I did not get very much training at all in nutrition. We aren't encouraged to think more broadly about the whole person. And I think that's a shame. Also, the current structure of medicine is such that doctors have hardly any time with the patients, as you said. And there's liability, too. You know, we have that hanging over our heads all the time. And so sometimes our feeling is we have to recommend what's most aggressive and what's definitely going to cure the illness. And that makes it harder to really step back and think about the whole person. I think the medical system works against us that way.
I've talked to a lot of doctors, though, about this issue in the past, and one thing that they come back to is that it's rather frustrating because they just want to help their patients, and they see their patients as denying that help.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it does feel frustrating. But I think what's changed for me is I've stepped back and thought, well, I feel like I'm not helping them, but really, how can I best help them? And I think maybe best helping them is giving them the time and the space to process things. I am not opposed to making strong recommendations. Sometimes our feeling is we have to recommend what's most aggressive and what's definitely going to cure the illness. And that makes it harder to really step back and think about the whole person. But I think we have to step back and think about the lives that we're dealing with and listen to our patients. We have to.
Dr. Annie Brewster is an urgent care physician in Boston and creator of Common Health's Listening to Patients series, a collection of stories from individuals living with illness. There's a link to her latest post at our website, radioboston.org. Dr. Brewster, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.